Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 219, part 1, Divine Thoughts. Today is Friday, November 4th, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Club Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail with your address. Verify your household members with either medical cards or social security cards. Come between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. Bring extra bags to carry other food that's available, and that food is generally produce, dairy products, baked goods, and some canned goods. If you want to purchase extra food from Pastor Paul, bring dollar bills. Do not bring anything larger than a 5. If you need more information about Pastor Paul's Club and how to register your household for monthly groceries, directions to Pastor Paul's, call 612-521-4665, prompt 1. Now, this is the month of November, my favorite month. Well, every month is a good month for me, but I love Thanksgiving. I love turkey dressing, mashed potatoes and gravy, homemade cranberries, sweet potatoes, green beans, you know, just all the traditional Thanksgiving foods. Gotta have it, gotta have it. Did I mention scalloped corn? I can hardly wait. So, there again, if you need food, come on to Pastor Paul's. We've got lots of food as well. The month of November, our transitional month, we go from a nice summer to cold winter, Thanksgiving, holidays around the corner, all kinds of things happening. Well, here's what's happening on the podcast. Jot these down. The messages, divine thoughts, the scent sends, the invisible people, poverty. This is going to be a good month. Be back here every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. And if you're not here, you're not all there. Is that how it goes? Thanks for coming to the podcast. I love the podcast. I am so thankful for this podcast. And I hope you are. Have a great month. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled Divine Thoughts. And we hear much about man's thoughts nowadays. He thinks this and he thinks that. And we say, you know, I've been thinking lately. And a lot of times when people tell me that, I say, uh-oh, we're in trouble now. Well, you know, the way I see it, we're not supposed to go by sight. And furthermore, after very careful consideration, and usually that consideration is slanted towards ourselves, now I was thinking about elections. And we hear what each side has to say about how good, you know, they are, so on like that. And I thought, I really believe this, if people were in tune with God and knew God's thoughts, they would probably vote just a little bit differently. Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is his, and unto God that which is his. In other words, don't get too involved in politics. And I think we'd be more concerned about God's thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. And my thoughts than your thoughts. And always, divine thoughts march with divine acts. God always counsels with himself and considers and ponders a person, and his thoughts towards that person are always good and gracious. Always. Well, what does God think about abortion? When does life start? Who should decide life and death? Are there any other factors involved? I think a lot of times we think our thoughts without considering the other person. Will God forgive that person? Of course. Of course, there is a consequence to every choice we make, and you got to live with certain things. As we all do, and even in our youth, when we make certain decisions, we have to live with those certain things we did in our youth all the way through our life. And what are his thoughts about salvation? Can someone other than Jesus save you? What are his thoughts concerning his anointed? What are his thoughts about homosexuals? What are his thoughts about marriage? You all got it down now, and you're all thinking your thoughts about what God's thinking. I was driving last Sunday, and I have been through quite a few discouragements in the last year. And also a lot of encouragements, too. And I said out loud, you know, nothing would surprise me anymore. And then God spoke to me, and I knew it was God because it was very simple. And it says, so you can't be surprised anymore, huh? How about good surprises? Or don't you want to be surprised in a good way? And I thought, you know, I know that's the Lord, because we always think of nothing would surprise me anymore. Well, God says, I want to surprise you. How about a good surprise? Will you allow me to surprise you, or won't you be surprised? And I said, Lord, Go ahead and surprise me. I'm ready to receive some good surprises. All this week I've had good surprises. You mean it's just going to be good surprises from now on? Well, it wouldn't be a surprise then, would it? Isn't that right, though? Can you be surprised about something good? And so there we have our own thoughts entering in all of the time. This text tonight speaks of thoughts, mentions the thoughts of men and the thoughts of God. And I think this is one point in which we are all made in the image of God. I was watching a dog running down the street here, and I said, well, no, he can't think with God. He can't fellowship with him. Because, you see, we have a spirit, and we are living souls, and we can hear God, made in his image. We can communicate with him. A lot of times we get into our own thoughts and we get fearful about situations and we worry about what people think and what they're thinking and what we're thinking and so on like that. And we get all wrapped up in our own thoughts. We don't even ask God what his thoughts are. Maybe someone else will give you their thoughts about what they think God is thinking about you. And you receive that. But anyway, when men do think, and I should say, and especially when they don't think of the highest and most important matters, they degrade themselves from what they really should be to sort of a beast spirit, a dog. They become animals. See, because thought is what makes us like God. We're able to think and comprehend and make decisions and be creative in our thought. And so when our thoughts are not on eternal things, I see sort of a brute creature on all fours looking for food and drink and sex. But then the thoughtful walk is upright. Our thoughts then must be upward, and then our thinking is a little bit different. They're not down there on the new Davenport and the new this and the new that. And I'm not saying that isn't all right. But they're not earthbound. They're not fearful. They're not selfish. They're upward. They're saying, now, what next, Lord? And so I think we need to practice using the thoughts on God. And so this text tonight mentions two thinkers. His thoughts and our thoughts. But his are far above ours, the Bible says. Well, I hear someone saying on the radio, how do I rise above this animal level? You allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you from God's thoughts. And God's thoughts are right in his Bible. God's thoughts are having done all stand. God's thoughts are persevere and go through. God's thoughts are not jump in the belly of a ship and sail away from duty. But God's thoughts are go right into the innermost part of that battle. That's the way it is through your whole life, where you're never satisfied. Isn't there a song like that? Run, 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 run away. And you run away with your conscience. So I think we got three things or more to look at tonight. I think we should first contrast our thoughts as to the possibility of pardon with God's thoughts, and your thoughts as to the plan of pardon and God's thoughts. And I think, thirdly, your thoughts as to the present possession of personal pardon. And so, number one, then, let's compare your thoughts of the possibility of pardon with God's thoughts about it. Now, naturally, you form ideas about God's ways from what you conceive would be yours if you were God. Now, if I was God, I'd be thinking this. You might even take one piece of scripture and wrestle it to your own destruction. Or you might take a group of them and try to wind them together to bring it out your way and into your thinking. And you know what? You can do that. You know why we're doing that? We know very well that we're entering our thinking into God's thoughts, because it's always simple when it comes to God. It's not complicated. Well, what would you do if someone robs you, you listening on the radio? What would you do if someone lied to you or cheated you or slandered you? And let's just say that you are a generous, frank, and a forgiving person, calm of mind, ready then to act leniently, a good person. Well, I've always been a good person. That kind of thing. See, but the case at hand is no trifle and requires some consideration and pondering. Let's use that word. Don't we ponder a lot? I got to give that a lot of thought. I got to think about this. I got to sleep on it. Well, why sleep on your own hate and your own unforgiveness and your own thoughts? Did you ever try to sleep on your own thoughts? What a lumpy mattress. I don't care how you try to make it right, it always comes out lumpy mattress. You may even find a group to agree with you. Bedfellows, weird ones. But I think the key word here is consideration and pondering. And so you carefully think your thoughts. You, let's say, consider your thoughts and then say, I could forgive this jerk, but I think his offense is peculiarly grievous in nature. So I'll have to consider it and I'll have to ponder it, the jerk. He robbed me, he slandered me, or he committed adultery on me. He has soiled my character to the very highest extent, and so I have to think about this one for a while. Woo. I could forgive anything but this. Have you ever wrestled with that at night in bed? This is just too much. This is the very worst conceivable wrong. Gross, eros. And I must let the law take its course. God, have your way. And already we know how God is thinking. You'll get yours. God sees you, you rat. Fire must fall, Lord. But then how does this look before the Lord while you're wrestling on that big old lump old mattress? Now, you have offended him. You have denied him his right. You have made his blood covenant of none effect, the Bible says. You have also overlooked his sovereignty. Sure, there's absolutes. But we're serving a sovereign God that overrules his absolutes from time to time. Overruled by whose authority? By my own, God says. I have decided to save the nation. And so now we're already talking about God's will. We know exactly what God's will is. And so much preaching goes along those lines. Makes me tremble. Aren't you glad you don't know all of God's thoughts all of the time in advance? See, if it were your case, you could not forgive. Praise God that your thoughts are not His thoughts and your ways of forgiveness are not His. Sinner, if you trust in Him, your iniquity, no matter how detestable, shall be blotted out forever. And that's what brings you peace. You don't have to ponder and think on that one, because see, you'll just mess it up with your thoughts. You just simply have to receive the pardon and the forgiveness that's forever. Well, let me think about this for a while. There must be some catch. We're always looking for some catch. Something wrong with a perfect plan. But let's say that you're considering another case. And you decide this way. Well, I could forgive him, bad as the sin is, if I thought he had fallen by it inadvertently or through carelessness. But this offense was intentional, not only intentional, but malicious. Not only intentional and not only malicious, but wanton. And so no way. And so also, sinner, naturally, you transfer these thoughts of yours to the Lord of heaven, and you say, He will never pardon me, for I have transpassed and transgressed willfully. I knew right, but I chose wrong. And now you're into your own thinking. How many? No, most times people do choose wrong. They do. I knew from experience it was wrong. I even remembered the terrible guilt from the last time. My motive? Well, my motive was that I loved evil. And I drank down this iniquity greedily. I wanted to satisfy my desires, and I only tried to gratify my passions, and it hardly did that. I only became more unhappy, and so I drank more and more and more, trying to satisfy my flesh, and it got worse and worse and worse. My thirst only grew, and you're talking to yourself and thinking your own thoughts, and God can't even get a word in edgewise. Oh, Pastor, it was like drinking sand in the desert. I have sinned without excuse. And I say to such callers, maybe at 2 a.m. Don't despair. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so high are His ways above your ways. Your thinking is stinking. His thoughts are way above your thoughts. But then there's another case. I could have overlooked this fault, but it has been repeated. Not once, not twice, not 50 times. But this person, you see, has hated me so much. He has been on my case since day one until now. He has teased me. He has made a fool out of me. He has slandered me. He has added insult to injury. And it goes on and on and on. And so you can't expect me to forgive. Well, that's your thoughts. What are God's thoughts? They are way above your ways and way above your thoughts. See, because you number sins. You keep track. So you see, you really never, ever forgave the first one because you kept track and you start out with number one and you get down to 50 and 100 and so on like that. See, 70 times 7 started out with number one. How many times must I forgive? See? But see you say, and someone saying on the radio, even now as I minister, these sins against me were undeserved and unprovoked. I didn't do a thing. And what did I ever do to deserve anything like this? And they even got songs like that. What did I ever do? Huh? What's the difference? Are you greater than your master? You didn't do anything, all right? I agree. Well, you go on, I never gave this enemy of mine not one excuse, not one. And Pastor, on the contrary, I was always there to help. When he was low on money, who gave? Me, that's who. So now you're keeping track of all the good things you did. You really didn't want to do them, or you would have done them and forgot them, but now you kept track, and now you did this and this and this, and you got to do this, see, and that kind of a thing. And when his car broke down, who went out in the cold? Me, that's who. Who watched their brats when they were having quarrels? Me, that's who. And that court deal, who was there? Now, of course, in the world court, this would hold water. Jury would slump in sort of a melancholy mush. Powerful indeed would be your case. But oh, you're a guilty sinner. Guilty of playing God. You have injured God. You have received full pardon. You have received nothing from God but mercy. And this is to the sinner I'm talking now. And his long suffering, the Bible says, has been given to you. So why do you continue to sin against him? Why do you rebel against one so kind? How can you be so ungenerous to such a God, so full of grace and mercy? You need to let love melt you down. And so someone on the radio says, hey, who's on trial here anyway? You. You cannot forgive people. If you haven't got something good to say, don't say nothing at all. Just fall silent. Get pent up and then give vent to the Lord. Give it out and talk it over with God. And don't try to go to sleep on that lumpy mattress of unforgiveness. It might take you a little time, but you got to start with the first step, see? You got to be honest with yourself. These people aren't always going to act the way you think. They're going to act the way God knows they'll act. That's why God is no respecter of persons. They're all really basically the same. Different scene, different situation, different setting. You can go to a scene where they have all monks in a cave, and that's all they do is, you know, write down scriptures and copy things and so on like that. They're no different than the tramp, really, in their thoughts. Their thoughts. Or the preacher or the priest or whatever. Sunday school teacher, whatever, see. Whenever that they get into their own thoughts and their own thinking. How many of you slept on a lumpy mattress sometime this month? No, I have. God, what's wrong with these people? Well, they're sinners. Same as you are. Ooh. Yes! Yes, but I'm the offended one, I hear you saying on the radio. I might have overlooked this fault if I thought the man were wholly humbled by now. And I counseled with a couple of people once, and they said, hey, this person needs to be humbled and wholly humbled. And they went on, I don't think they've been humbled enough yet. Are you humbled? Are you really, really sorry? The woman said to the man, are you really sorry? 100% sorry. Are you really sorry? Say you're sorry, 100%. And I thought to myself, how can you ask someone else to be 100% sorry with so much venom yourself? No, he asked for my forgiveness, but he has a non-sufficient sense of guilt. He is not sufficiently guilty. He has no sense of it. His saying, I'm sorry, doesn't fit the crime. His tongue is so smooth. I believe it's all for show. And so we start to think our thoughts about when someone says they're sorry. Do they really mean it? When someone comes to Jesus, do they really mean it? We get into our own thinking. Oh, you know, he's just trying to please God. Don't you see how hard his heart is? But see, sinner, how hard your heart is. See how hard your heart is. Besides, God doesn't say, I will have nothing to do with this sinner because he has a stony heart. The Bible says, I will take away the heart of stone and I will give him a heart of flesh. And truly, I'll have to say here, it is written, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But still whines the aggrieved party. I think the man ought to make some kind of compensation for what he's done. He speaks of forgiveness, you see, but look at the mischief he has caused all these past years. I think some kind of compensation ought to be made first. How about going back and making amends for all the ill that he's caused? Because in a court of law, they never overlooked an injury until compensation is made. Well, you say, how can I offer any compensation? How can I undo what I've done? I have dishonored the law of God. And I believe there is no hope of reconciliation. I ministered some years back at a large AA meeting, and it was in the hospital where the fellows were going through treatment. And the question came from one of the men. They said, well, what do we do about this guilt? And so the leader of the group says, well, Pastor, what do they do with this guilt? Maybe you can answer that question. He knew full well that I could. And I said, all this guilt you have to give up. First of all, you have to forgive yourself. Then you can go ask someone else to forgive you because you've received forgiveness already and now you can give it out also. Bible says, freely, freely I've given unto you, freely give it away. Now what's the freest thing that God has ever given anybody? Forgiveness. There's no cost to it. It's already been paid in full. Past, present, and future. I'm talking about an abundant forgiveness and grace, total, without reservation. You're starting to see things down here, miracles down here. Most of our crew down here now is from the north side. People coming in from our own area doing the work down here. And so I think a few people have to change their thoughts and their thinking. Have you changed your thinking since you've came to the north side? I have. I'm really beginning to know that God's word is, I'm no respecter of persons, holds a lot of water, holds a lot of word, in other words. But see, our loving God doesn't ask for compensation. He says only return to me. He says only confess your sin. Only acknowledge sin as David did then to Nathan. And you shall receive a word through Jesus. A word like that which Nathan brought to David. The Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Oh, I know you can die 1,000 deaths by hanging on to something. Just totally hanging on and hanging on and hanging on. The Bible says when we confess our sin and forsake our sin, we shall find mercy. Are you looking for mercy? I am. When I get to heaven, what are you doing here? What gives you the right? Mercy, Lord. I'm not going to take my attaché case up there full of all the good works I did and say, hey, look what I did here. Hey, it's me. Hi. I suppose you all know me. Huh? Lord would say, depart from me. I never knew you. No, see, no compensation is wanted. None whatsoever. Because sin then is freely forgiven for Jesus' sake. There's a whole lot of mishmash and there's a whole lot of movies coming out with that kind of thing right now. And they have men coming back as angels. How many know a man could never be an angel? No. We could be like a fallen angel. Could be like a demon. I was talking about last Sunday, I said, you know, I remember in the demon casting out, and there is such a thing, but I think they overdid it. Every time a person had a wart or something, that was a demon to wart, or the demon of ingrown toenail or something kind of thing. And everybody was just so caught up, and, you know, they were looking at each other like, well, I wonder what kind of demons they got in them, you know what I mean? And I said, you know what? If there was a group of demons and they were all talking down in hell, they said, where'd you learn that trick? Say, I learned that from a human being. See, because we have a fallen nature too. And the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and who can know it? Desperately. Now, if God uses a word like desperately wicked, do you think you need any help from a demon? No. That's why you cannot think your thoughts. Because demons borrow them. Yeah? How many know what I'm saying is the truth? Come on now. Now, I know I'll get some letters off of this. And they'll say, well, no, they'll come off with some kind of a weird thing. And I didn't even... No, I got the tape. That even though we are made in God's image, we have a fallen nature. Jesus came, hallelujah. And his thought was that I'll redeem them, I'll buy them back, and I'll live in that sinful tent, that body, hallelujah. And I'll never leave them, no, I'll never, never leave them or forsake them. Well, I hear you saying, I still could not find it in my heart to forgive freely. When I see the consequences before my eyes, the rest of my life, I'll see the consequences of that person's sin. Suppose someone hits your child while driving drunk and crippled him, and we have a lot of that happening right now. Groups of people. When I hear you say, I could forgive him, but look at my crippled child. Every day I must look at that crippled body. Can I forgive? But yet God sees your daily sins. Huh? You know what? Most people when they get in the car at 8 o'clock in the morning when they don't want to go to work in the first place, they are dangerous. aren't they? I gotta go to work. Get out of my way. It's bad enough. Aren't you glad that we don't wear six guns here in this day and age and during a traffic jam? Huh? Or that we had laser guns that would dissolve cars in front of us and in back of us? Somebody beeps. Huh? Dissolve them? Oh, I would never do a thing like that. Oh. How many people do you wish right now would dissolve? Boy, if they'd only move out of town, then everything would be great. Well, I'll be another one just like him. How many are hearing this? Every day I got to look at this crippled child of mine. How can I forgive? See, God forgives sin. But then the consequences of that sin can't be averted either, can they? There's consequences. You don't have to get on a person's case. They live with those consequences for that sin. It's forgiven, but there's consequences. There's things that follow after. Have you led someone astray? Have you lied about someone? There's a consequence for that, you know. Have you gossiped? There's consequences. Have you slandered someone's name? There is a consequence. Or maybe you've caused division. There's a consequence. And you that have been sinned against, keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Isn't there a song like that? Say nothing till you hear from me. Say nothing till you hear from me. Ooh, da 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 ha. Did you have the opportunity to speak up for someone and you let it pass? Every sin that we commit has a consequence. Why didn't I say something? Why didn't I stick up for that person? And then if it causes harm to someone else, like a new babe in Christ, leading them astray, causing confusion and doubt, well, God will forgive you always. You, with all the consequences of your sin before Him. Maybe it's perpetual mischief which you have done to others. That might be a fit reason why He shouldn't forgive you. But yet He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. See, the Bible is so simplified. I forgive you. Now what does that mean? That is a foundation of the whole Bible, forgiveness. And especially we're talking New Testament. That's the foundation on what we build on. You may have been the instrument of sending others down to the pit, yet you're saved. And again, I hear a offended party say, I can't forgive this offense against me because it was public. It was so dastardly done. It so disgraced me. It was on the radio, on TV, in the newspaper. My name was dragged through the mud. And everybody knows it. And yet, God will forgive you. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are His thoughts above your thoughts. No, I can see one more argument cropping up here. One more that the offended ones could offer. Well, my forgiveness He has already despised. I've tried many times to make up. I've tried many times to talk to him. I've tried many times to make peace. How long must I wait? As long as it takes. And are you sure that your heart is right? Look at all the time that God has spent on you. Truly, his ways and thoughts are above others. And so now let's contrast your thoughts about the plan of pardon with God's thoughts. Don't we know so much about the plan of pardon, don't we? Now, if you have advanced far enough to believe that God can pardon, and I say that because there's a lot of people been saved for many, many years and haven't advanced that far yet. And then going on and have to this extent laid hold of God's thoughts, then great. This is beautiful. But still another of your own thoughts drags you down. Because you have a wrong idea of the way of pardon. How many know there's a lot of folks that got a wrong idea about the way of pardon? Sort of like picking at a daisy petal. He loves me not. He forgives me not. And they go on and on and on like that. They like to torture themselves. They feel good and then they feel bad. Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. Huh? And they go pick out some other little thing. See, another little thing. Pick out something else. Good, loves me not, loves me not. You can pick daisies until you turn into one. It won't change the Word of God. His thoughts are always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changes. Unchangeable. Well, if he forgives sin, then just let him do it. Why make a big deal out of it, Pastor? Just let him do it. I mean, every time I sin, if he's really so loving, let him do it automatically without my asking. But see, here again, God's thoughts are not your thoughts. Would you do that with your child? Oh, that's all right. You know, you smack the car up, I automatic. Don't ask me to forgive you. Automatic. Automatic forgiveness. So it's the 10th time. So what? My forgiveness is automatic. So your hand better start to be automatic, huh? See, evidently your heart has become so impure, you look upon sin as a trifle, just like your child would do if you just said, oh, that's okay, Johnny. I'll bring down the house. Oh, okay, okay, kid. Nothing to it, huh? I stole all your money. Oh, it's okay, Johnny. It's more where that came from. Oh, yeah? See, you just got to bring it about so people can understand. There's a consequence. There's a spanking coming. There's a few knobs on Junior's head. And I hear someone on the radio saying, oh, I bet he's brutal. Child brutality. I suppose given half a chance, I would be. I don't know. How about you? Takes one to know one. I mean, should the judge of all the universe have it spread all about the universe that he winked at sin and exercised his sovereignty to suspend his moral law and to deny, in other words, justice its due? No, it would be spoken of forever that he was a respecter of persons. Don't we see that with our... Well, how come I get spanked all the time, and she never gets spanked. probably a better con artist than you are.
There you have it. That was part one, Divine Thoughts. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You got to move. Oh, when the law.